Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey gang, good morning. Welcome to Taking It Outdoors. We got a brand new episode for you today. All thanks to Johnston RV Country, where they are celebrating 30 years of creating generations of family fun in Webster, Palmyra, and you can find them online at jrvcountry.com. They're moving some units, man. I was out at their show at Grease Ridge Mall last weekend. Lots of people getting into the RV game. Also want to thank Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota. And, ladies and gentlemen, very excited to announce we got some new money coming into the radio station in the form of a new sponsor here at Taking It Outdoors. We've invited them into the studio to share in some fun and conversation today as we say good morning to JJ Cooper. What's up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm doing good. JJ works out at Cooper Sales and Service in Albion. And man, do I have this right? You guys are a Can-Am and Ski-Doo dealer, correct?
Correct, yes.
And you're in Albion.
Yep.
And your place ain't that big.
No, we're very, very small.
But you sell more Can-Ams and Ski-Doos than anybody else in the region.
That is correct.
How do you accomplish that?
First and foremost, one big thing that we do that a lot of other dealers do not, we don't charge freight and prep. So the price you get over the phone is the price you pay plus tax and registration. There's no other hidden fees. That is very, very important, because when we buy something from somebody else, going to a Chevy dealer or any other dealer, we don't like them games, so we don't want to play them games with anybody else. So, and being family owned and operated, I am the third generation here at Cooper's. My dad is the CEO, and he does all the mechanics, and my mom is the sales.
That's who I met at the concert, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, good folks out there. They were out at Guitars and Stars, I guess about a month and a half ago at this point. The days start to run together during deer season, bud. You're a whitetail hunter, correct?
That is correct as well.
You bow hunt?
Yes, sir.
All right, I was going to throw you right out of here if you didn't. How's the season been for you? How much time have you spent in the woods?
I haven't spent any time in the woods, but I am looking to get out very, very soon.
JJ.
Yeah, it's been too busy at the shop, at our business.
How old are you?
I am 23 years old.
And you can't be too busy to hunt when you're 23, buddy. You have to make, and this is old uncle, 42-year-old Uncle Noom's talking to you. Budget time. Make time.
Oh,
because if you don't, you won't.
Yep.
All right? I fell victim to that, and man, I just realized one day how many hunts I missed out on. So anyway, that's a little life lesson for you moving forward. It's been a little tough this season, man. Well, I mean, you haven't been hunting in the woods, but you've been outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's either been raining or hot. I think last Friday morning, I was obviously here at work, but I was like, this is the morning to go out. I would think it was like right above 40, 39, 42 degrees. And to me, I was most excited to go hunting that morning. But I couldn't. When I have had time to go sit in the stand, it's either been raining or over 70 into the 80-degree mark. And I don't know why. I just don't enjoy whitetail hunting when I'm sweating.
No. And I'm the same way. That's just terrible hunting weather.
It is, but the deer don't care. I'm out there sweating bullets, and they still have to eat and be social, so it's not like you shouldn't go hunting. I mean, just like the rain affects the hunter more than it does the whitetail. What kind of bow you shoot?
I shoot a Elite Judge.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
That's high end. What kind of arrows you shooting?
I'm shooting the new Easton Axis, the new micro diameter arrows.
Wow, micro diameter.
Yes.
Talk to me about that. This is new to me.
They're...
Because I shoot the injections. Are they thinner than those?
Nope, that's actually... I misspoke. That's what they are, though.
Oh, you're shooting injections?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
With that deep six?
Yep.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's a really strong, fast-moving arrow. Yeah, I love that too, man.
Yeah, the other day I was out shooting my bow, and I shot one of the new injections versus my old Axis, and I got 2 inches more penetration with the new injections over the Axis. Yeah. And I was blowing through stuff with the old Axis like it was nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to get out there with them.
And you can keep those things, just, put new fletchings on them, and I've had the same 10 I started with for probably 3 years now. And the injection, if you don't know about them, look them up. They're really cool. It's just something else for you to spend money on. Now, man, I got to shoot you straight. Again, J.J. Cooper's in studio with us. He works out at Cooper Sales and Service in Albion, where they sell Can-Ams and Ski-Doos. I think when we were talking at Guitars and Stars, I disclosed that I have never been on a snowmobile before.
Yep, you did.
And that's your main bag out there, right? You sell a lot of those things?
We usually average over 80 snowmobiles, brand new snowmobiles a year, plus the 10 to 15 used that we take in. So we've been huge in snowmobiling. What a lot of people don't realize is, yes, although our season is very short around here, people still put on a ton of miles. We got customers that they'll go to Maine for a week, they'll go to Quebec for a week, they'll go to Michigan for a week. So it's nothing for them to put 2,000-3,000 miles on a snowmobile a year. So although our season is short, a lot of people still put more miles on than the four-wheeler or an ATV.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do it, man, but, I can't do everything, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But now that y'all are a sponsor, I'll probably end up buying one. I bought an RV off the Johnstons, so I don't have a Kubota yet, but they're still working on me there. But I've never done it, man. Actually, after I talked to you, I lied. When I first moved here, this was back in 2004, 2005, I had met some people. They took me deer hunting for the first time in New York, and I got a doe that weekend, and we took it to have it butchered. I'll remember the guy's name. Uncle Charlie was his name. He was out in Webster, and he had a snowmobile in the parking lot there, and it was a pretty snowy day, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I've never done it. I was fresh here from Texas, still had my thick draw, and he let me give it a dance around the parking lot, but that was the only time I've ever been on them. But I have friends, man, they'll start out like in SOTUS, and they'll make it to Tug Hill.
Yep.
Have you done that?
I haven't been that way. I've done from Albion to... Alexander?
Nope. Bethany?
Further south of that.
But it was a good long ride.
200 miles in a day.
Now, what's the spectrum of machines like here? Is it like motorcycles? I apologize. This is probably a novice question, but I know a little bit about motorcycles. Are there parallels to snow machines? Like on one end, you got your big dressers, your Electra Glides, you know what I mean, with all the compartments, your stereos, all the way down to like a Sportster model. What kind of products or machines do you offer?
We have everything from a Sport, which is basically an entry-level snowmobile. It's still carbureted, moderately cheap, so trying to get people into the sport, because snowmobiling is kind of a dying sport. Not a lot of people have the extra cash flow to do it. Then we have your next grade up, which is the 600R E-Tech, which the E-Tech technology came from Johnson and Everrude, being all fuel injection. And so we got a lot of, and then from there we go into our new 850 engine, 850 E-Techs, and we have everything from your average in-season model to spring order models only. So you got an X Packager and an XRS.
Do y'all sell the kind I see on TV from time to time that go on water?
Them are usually transferred from a factory snowmobile over to water.
Oh, I've seen them racing them on, they'll go from land to water on TV, like some Red Bull X Games kind of stuff.
Yep.
It's pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. My dad actually used to race snowmobiles on the asphalt.
Oh, no kidding?
Yep. We had our own NHRA circuit that we used to run, so we had 6-7 races a year.
Wow, man, I never knew that whole scene existed.
Yep.
You know, something else I want to talk to JJ about today. JJ Cooper is our guest this morning. He's joining us from Cooper Sales and Service. You can find him online, coopersales-service.com. This guy does sporting clays. Like, you travel around and you're kind of a big deal in that game, huh?
Last year I made the All-State team in my class. So I was part of All-State New York. I've been to Ohio. I've traveled to New Jersey shooting. Next year, I am going to compete at the U.S. Open in New Jersey, where there'll be over 1,000 entrants there. So I'll be competing there, as well as I am going to the World English in Illinois. So everybody from around the world will be there. Team USA will be there. Team England will be there. Wow. So I'm going there and competing and going there to see all the pros shoot.
I know what we're talking about in the next segment. Sporting Clays. Sit tight. Again, JJ Cooper is our guest. This is Taking It Outdoors. You are listening to 92.5 WBEE. Hey, gang, good morning. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. I'm joined in studio this morning by JJ Cooper. He's from out at Cooper Sales and Service in Albion. He was telling us all about their shop out there in the last segment, and we stumbled upon something pretty cool. The guy is actually a big shot in sporting clays. This morning's program is brought to you by Johnston RV Country, where they are celebrating 30 years of creating generations of family fun in Webster, Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Also, Bentley Brothers, Kubota in Brockport and Albion, Save a Horse, Ride a Kubota, and New Money. That's right, New Money right here at the B, a new sponsor, Cooper's Sales and Service. JJ Cooper is our guest. So sporting clays, huh?
Yes.
How old a guy are you? What are you, like 20?
I am 23.
23, good for you. And you were telling us a little about your shooting resume, and I'm fascinated by that. I love sporting clay shooting. I'm terrible at it. I'm the worst, but it's a blast, man. I love it.
Yes.
How did you find it?
I used to shoot. Our local club had a ATA league, or ATA trap.
American Trap Association?
Yep. So I was shooting that for a while, and then our main guy decided to switch from ATA and AIM over to SCTP, Scholastic Clay Target Program. So that offered us the opportunity to shoot American Skeet as well as sporting clays. So my first year in the SCTP, we had a state shoot at Rochester Brooks over in Rush.
Great club.
Great club. And they threw some excellent targets out there for our state shoot for our first time. And ever since then, I was hooked. I finished off shooting the SCTP for 4 years. Me and my squad, we were part of a 5-time New York State championship team. So we won, I believe, two ATA AIM championships, and then we won 3 SCTP state trap championships, as well as a skeet championship.
Holy smoke, dude.
Yeah.
You're pretty dang good.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you, man. Now, that's got to be an expensive hobby. You reload?
I do not reload.
Oh, you must be rich then.
I can buy you can buy ammo at certain places cheaper than you can reload, or just as expensive as you can reload. It's not worth putting in the time. I do have a reloader at home. I got a progressive press for my 12 gauge. I want to start reloading 28s and 410s is where I want to go.
Yeah, that's fun, man. I have an old Mossberg that was my great-grandfather's. I looked up the serial number, and it was made anywhere from like 47 to 52. And it's the coolest thing, man. It's bolt action.
Yep.
But the choke is it's adjustable.
Yes, the screw adjustables.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's the funnest little gun, man. I mean, that was the first long gun I shot growing up. That's what I learned on. And when he passed, and you know, it eventually found its way to me. But I absolutely love that 410, man. I'll go play with that thing in the backyard, and it is a lot of fun. Now, tell people the difference, because when it comes to the shooting sports, you do the sporting clays.
Yep.
And that's where they can come from any direction, right?
That is correct.
They can come from the right at different angles, even on the ground. Those are called rabbits.
Correct.
And so the difference between that and trap shooting is what?
Sporting clays, as Newman was saying, is the target can come from anywhere. It can come from 60 yards out, coming off of a tower, can come from behind you, over your head, on the ground. We have a bunch of different styles of targets. We have a standard target, which is the same target you shoot in trap and skeet. We have a midi, which is a 90 millimeter diameter target from 108 millimeters, your standard. We have a new midi, which is a 70 millimeter target. We have a mini, which is a 60 millimeter target. We have a bat 2, which is very thin profile. It goes flies straight, and then once it starts to lose speed, it'll turn over and show you either face or dome.
And so, it just falls out of the sky at that point?
Oh, yeah. It's in seeing it off the arm is very difficult because it's so thin, you can't really see it.
I've only shot clays at one place, and it's been out at Rochester Brooks. I'm not a member, but I have some friends that are, and I always kind of, you know what I mean, weasel into their outings over there. But my first time, everybody thought I was there like, dude, you're a natural. I guess I got a willy.
Yep.
Where I shot both clays with one round.
Yep.
And, you know, I've never done it since.
It's very, very hard to do. And a lot of good target setters, when you travel nationwide, and go, they'll trick you into trying to do that. They'll throw targets intentionally that cross each other to get you to try to shoot them both with one shot. And then a lot of times what happens is you'll miss, and now you're out of position for taking either target. So then you're down to getting a one, where if you would have waited a little bit and took it after it crossed, you had a better chance of getting them both.
What kind of shotgun do you compete with? Is it, does everybody use 12-gauge? Are there different divisions? How does that work?
So I shoot a Blaser F3 Vantage. It is made over in Germany.
Hang on. I've never heard of that. How do you spell it?
Blaser. Okay. So most of the time, your main event, almost everybody shoots a 12-gauge. There is some people out there that shoot 20-gauge. At a lot of these tournaments, we'll have side events. So there'll be 20-gauge side event, 28-gauge side event, 410 side event, as well as the Italian game of sporting clays called FITAST. So in FITAST, there's a lot more rules than sporting clays. So one rule is you have to use 1 ounce of lead or less. The other rule is the gun's got to start, I believe, 90 centimeters below the top of your shoulder. So you got to start with the gun down out of your shoulder. And then once
they don't want you preloading, huh?
They don't want you to pre-mount.
That's what I meant to say.
Yep.
I was trying to use the lingo.
So you got to start there, and you can't move. Once you come set, you cannot move until you can visually see the target. If you do, you get a warning. If you move before you can visually see the target, the ref will give you a warning. The second time, it is a lost target.
Wow. What's at stake at these competitions? What are you all competing for? I mean, other than it's a, you know, pride.
Yep.
What are the prizes, like the purses? I love bass fishing. You know what I mean? But I still enter a tournament because I want to win money.
Yep. Some of the bigger tournaments you go to, like a regional and things like that, HOA in the main event, high overall in the main event, you can walk out of there usually $5,000.
Wow. And how in the field?
In master class, there's usually 200 to 300. There's some other classes. So if you come, so the class system works: master, double A, B, C, D, and E.
Is it merit based or if you can afford it based?
It is based on shooting performance.
Awesome.
So as everybody starts out in E class, and they have what they call a punch system. So if you win a tournament or a monthly shoot that's got registered targets, depending on how many people are in your class, you get so many punches. And then there's so many punches to get out of the class, and then you move up.
Nice.
So,
and you did this in school, too?
I started it in school, yep.
Wow. I want to continue this conversation, man. I've always been interested in this, and I don't get to do it as much as I would like to. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And because, like I said, you know, I was kind of part joking, but it can be a pretty expensive hobby. Well, just like anything else, you get into it, you know, and you're like, okay, well, I'm now at this level. Maybe I can invest in a newer, better gun, maybe.
Yep.
You know, just like if you're fishing, you know what I mean? Or
yes,
whatever you're into, you upgrade your gear as your confidence and skill level grows. You mentioned the Blaser shotgun here. Is it, it's a, am I got the right one? You said it was a German gun, but this website is blaserusa.com.
Yes. So the guns are actually built over in Germany, and then they are shipped to Texas, where the importer is for the United States.
Nice. I want you to tell me why you picked this one, man, because I know there's a world of options when it comes to these. I also want to pick your brain as to why people that compete in sporting clays or trap or skeet, why they always choose the over-under. I've always been scared to ask that question when I've been out there because I try to act like I've been there before.
Yep.
And a lot of questions go unanswered. So we'll start there in the next segment. Again, J.J. Cooper is our guest this morning. He's third generation out at Cooper Sales and Service. They are in Albion. They are a Can-Am and Ski-Doo dealer. He was telling us all about it. It's like the smallest shop in the region, but by volume, they're the best in the game around here. Again, coopersales-service.com is their website. JJ, sit tight. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk some more about that shotgun, all right?
Yep.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. We are joined in studio today by JJ Cooper. He is from Cooper Sales and Service out in Albion, where they are a Can-Am and Ski-Doo dealer. He was telling us all about their business earlier this morning, and we're glad to have him in here today and as a new sponsor here at Taking It Outdoors. So if you're on the market for a snowmobile, a side-by-side, an ATV, please consider our new friends out at Cooper's Sales and Service. Johnston RV, another sponsor of this program, they are celebrating 30 years of creating generations of family fun. They're in Webster, Palmyra, and online at jrvcountry.com. Also, Bentley Brothers Kubota in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota. JJ was telling us in the last segment all about his hobby. I don't even know. It's more than a hobby at this point. He's a competitive marksman, shooting sports. How would I categorize?
Probably competitive shotgun shooters, how I would describe it.
All right. I thought it would be something a little more fancy than that, but it still sounds cool.
Oh, yeah.
And you were telling us about your shotgun. That's where we ended the last segment. When I go out and I shoot skeet, trap, clay, whatever I'm invited to do,
yep.
I either take my Mossberg 835 pump or, wait for it, my Mossberg 935 semi-auto.
Yep.
Those are my two shotguns, all right? And that's what I hunt with, and that's what I take to the gun club when I go. But all my friends that are enthusiasts or competitors, they're all shooting the over-unders. And I've always been afraid or embarrassed to ask why. I have an idea, but why don't you tell me?
The reason I used to shoot a semi-automatic, I used to shoot a Beretta A400. The reason why I switched is a lot of these competitions I shoot, the target setter might throw a target at 15 yards, and then they'll throw one at 65 or 70 yards coming off the tower. So shooting a semi-automatic, what are you going to choke for? You're going to choke for the 15-yarder, or you're going to choke for the 70-yarder? So having an over-under makes that a little easier. Another reason why I like shooting an over-under better is they're heavier. I like the weight. I like the weight of an over-under and the way they balance. To me, they balance better between my hands than a semi-automatic.
All right. I didn't know. So both those barrels are choked differently?
Usually, yes.
Usually.
Yep.
Like, what are we doing? Like, one's full, one's modified. You get to pick?
You get to pick. I like to run light modified and modified, or light modified and improved modified.
Okay.
That's what I like to run usually.
Now, what are the advantages of doing that as opposed to like a full no choke? Just spread it out.
There's some times I've had to use both. This year at the state shoot, target setter threw a true pair of rabbits bouncing across the ground that were 7-8 yards out in front of you. So one was quartering away, one was quartering in, true paired. So they're both going at the same time. So to being the state competition and trying to win the state competition, I wanted every little advantage I could get. So I took both chokes out of my gun and shot them both with wide open. Choke at all.
Are you allowed to change between stations when you're on the course?
Between stations, you're allowed, but once you step into the shooting box, you're not allowed, unless you are the first person in, because the first person in, you get to view a pair of targets.
All right. Now, I was way off. I would have guessed it was the exchange. You didn't want to get hung up. You know what I mean? Like when you get your first one, and then your shell half ejects.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
And that was like, okay, well, a double barrel takes that whole thing. Because oftentimes I'll miss my second clay because I'm shooting some crap load in my gun and gets stuck.
Yep.
So I always thought that was part of the decision to do that as well.
There's nothing wrong with shooting a semi-automatic. Diane Sorrentino, one of our lady pros for Team USA, she still shoots a semi-automatic, and she shoots it absolutely phenomenal. So she was on Team USA. She won the World English Fee Test this year. So
yeah, now what about, this is also a dumb question, but this is the judgment-free outdoorsman zone here.
Yep.
Can you pick, like, if they're both choked differently, do you have to know which clay you're going to shoot first with that choke? Or can I say, all right, I'm going to react and you can decide top or bottom?
Usually before you call for the targets is when you will choose which barrel you're going to shoot first, so top or bottom.
But what I'm saying, if I'm shooting, do I have a choice? Or does the top always go first, bottom always second, or vice versa?
You have a choice. So on and over under, there is a barrel selector for which barrel you want to shoot first.
Okay, I've never shot one.
Yep.
I've been offered, but I know how expensive they are, and I don't want to ever break in my buddies, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I've always, acted like, oh, no, it's cool, man, go ahead. What about side-by-side? Same with those?
Them aren't usually as popular as an over-under, and I don't know why.
Huh.
But, at big tournaments, there is a side event for side-by-sides.
Now, JJ, people, you'll hear, especially the old-timers, you'll hear them say things like, you don't aim a shotgun, you point it.
Yep.
Stuff like that. I've always silently objected to that. I don't know why they say that. I think it's reckless to just point a shotgun. I dang sure aim that thing. If I'm not supposed to aim it, why do they put a bead up there?
I don't know, but just from my personal experience when I am shooting and shooting competitions, I visually have no idea where my gun is. Visually.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, my eyes are
field of vision.
Are strictly on the target, and I'm letting my eyes feed my brain what the target is doing so my hands can go freely.
Okay.
So when I'm shooting, I don't see the beads. To me, you can take the beads off the gun. The only time I use the bead is when I pre-mount to make sure where I have the gun is where I want the gun, to make the gun shoot 50-50 or 60-40, 70-30, however you want the gun to shoot.
Wow. See, I use that bead for leading everything.
Nope. When I'm shooting, my eyes, when I'm shooting extremely well, my eyes are strictly on the target, and visually, I have no idea where the gun is. Mentally, I kind of have an idea where the gun is,
right,
and how much lead a target needs, but visually, I don't.
Is it different for you if you're at a competition versus a hunting application?
Shooting. I try to do the same thing hunting. Sometimes you have to aim a little bit because geese or ducks aren't flying as fast as some of the targets we shoot.
Right.
Especially when we shoot international targets that absolutely never slow down at all.
Don't diminish what I do.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Good stuff. Yeah, man, that's pretty cool. I never looked at it that way. Both eyes open, right?
Both eyes are open, yep. Huh. Both eyes are on the target. That way you're feeding the brain as much information as possible.
That's interesting, man. So you're locked on it, and you just bring the gun in between.
Yep.
Huh. That's, I guess, time.
Yep.
And repetition. You develop an extra muscle for that.
What happens to a lot of us, and my coach and him and I struggle with this sometimes too, is when we look at the barrel or look at the bead to try to visualize the lead that we were giving a target, we stop. We don't keep moving. We don't follow through.
Yeah.
So now you just gave something 4 feet and missed it because you stopped the gun, where you keep moving, the target might only need 1.5 feet or 2 feet.
Yeah.
So it's, I was just listening to a podcast from Andy Duffy. He was used to shoot around here all the time, and now he moved out to Montana. One person asked him one time to try to shoot one-eyed because the person he was coaching only had one eye. When he tried to shoot one eye, he had to double his visual lead on a target to shoot it compared to both eyes open.
Huh. Well, that's fascinating to me, man. That's a level of hand-eye coordination that I don't think I'm capable of. And it's not like I'm some schmuck,
Yep.
I don't have two left hands or two left feet. I mean, I'm not a world-class athlete either, but that's a special kind of skill, man.
It takes a lot of time to develop it.
So you're a big waterfowler, huh?
I love waterfowl hunting.
All right. Well, now I know what we're doing in the next segment. All right. Sit tight, folks. I hope your deer season's off to a good start. White or archery season, anyway. And youth season just came and gone. A lot of friends of mine got out in the woods with their kids, saw a lot of pictures on social media. So we are well into archery season. We got JJ in here. He's from Cooper Sales and Service. They are in Albion. Coopersales-service.com is their website. We're going waterfowl, wingtips and tail feathers. That's coming up next right here at Taking It Outdoors, 92.5 WBEE. All right, folks, good morning. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. Man, we've had a broad spectrum of topics today. We're joined in studio by JJ Cooper. He's from Cooper's Sales and Service in Albion. You can find him, coopersales-service.com. He was telling us earlier in the show all about their business. They are a Can-Am and Ski-Doo dealer and a new sponsor here at Taking It Outdoors, just like Johnston RV Country, where they are celebrating 30 years of creating generations of family fun. You can find them in Webster, Palmyra, Grease Ridge Mall, most recently, and online at jrvcountry.com. I was out at their RV show, their model year-end closeout super show at Grease Ridge Mall last weekend. Lots of people there. Good to see folks. Also, Bentley Brothers Kubota, we want to thank them. They are in Brockport and Albion. Save a horse, ride a Kubota. So we've talked a little sporting clays. Competitive shotgunning, or whatever I was taught to call it a few moments ago. We've talked a little power sports, some snowmobiling. We talked some ATVs. But while we were talking about your shotgunning, I was like, man, this guy's got to be a waterfowler.
Yep.
So what's your bag? Ducks, geese, what do you like to do?
I like to shoot geese and mallards.
No kidding. You got a lot of experience, or is this something you've recently gotten into? Where are you in your waterfowling journey?
I did it quite a bit while I was still in high school. Every weekend I was out. I stalled a little bit while I was in college, and now that I got a new chocolate lab again, it's really kicked up my spark and to get back out there and really get after some ducks again.
Now, what's your bag? What do you like to do? You like to hunt water? Are you a cornfield guy, or will you do whatever?
I've mostly hunted cornfields, wheat fields.
So no kidding.
Yep. I wanted to get on the water.
Yeah, me too, man. I got way more land experience than I do on the water, man. I have a guy that comes in here pretty regularly, Billy Pulsifer. He's a, you know, when I want to do a waterfowl episode, he was on a couple weeks ago talking about early goose. But he's got the John boat with, you know, the concealment. And, I mean, it's just freaking fantastic. A surface drive motor, so, you know, he can get that thing in a puddle.
Yep.
And still float it. I've always wanted to do that, and I just haven't had a lot of opportunities. Now, I lived on Canisius Lake for 6 years, and I only got into waterfowl in the last two that I was there, but I didn't know what I was doing, man. I was just throwing decoys in the water, no rhyme or reason, and I was hiding behind the docks that were stacked up on the break wall for the winter. You know what I mean? And that was how I duck hunted on my own. I was introduced to it by some enthusiasts who hunt agricultural spots, so cut cornfields, bean fields, and stuff like that later into the winter. But it just seems like a different game, you know, and you have to pay attention to the little things. Just like I said, throwing your decoys out there.
Yes.
You just can't be willy-nilly about that. There's philosophies behind this. Which ones do you subscribe to? Like with your decoy game, let's just say we're on a Canadian hunt. Do you like to do the old Nike symbol? Do you like to do a W? What's your philosophy there?
Usually a Nike symbol or a U. Try to get them to land almost as close as possible. So that's usually what I'd like to do.
Yeah. You a big scouter, or you just have a spot, you go hunt this spot, and they're either there or they're not?
I do a lot of scouting. When actually right next to my parents' business, when that is usually corn or winter wheat fields, that's an unbelievable spot to go hunting for geese and ducks.
Oh, God,
I creek, bet. The creek is right across the road. We got a creek right across the road where the old golf course used to be that now is gone and into a farmer's field. So as long as that creek's not froze over, them geese and ducks are living in there, and you can just pound them.
Yeah, that's where I'm lucky, man, from where I hunt, especially with the Canadas. Once Canisius Lake freezes over, they head to the Jenny, right? I mean, that's moving water. It's not going to lock up. and we try to hunt in between the lake and the and the river, and we get a lot of traffic that way. Where do you do? I mean, you're duck hunting in a field can be hit or miss.
Yeah,
that's the frustrating part. So that's why overwhelmingly, you know, we get more geese than ducks, and there'll be, we can go weeks without having ducks come through. But the guys I know that hunt water, they certainly don't have that problem for obvious reasons there. Oh, yeah. So that's cool, man. How many species have you been able to land?
I've only shot Canadians and mallards. So I've got my first mallards I ever took. I took a drake and a hen out with one shot.
Oh, that's cool. Of course you did, with your professional skill level.
That was before I got as good as I have in sporting clays. I was still shooting a lot of trap at that point in time when that happened.
Nice. Hey, man, I want to circle back a little bit if we could. What kind of load do you shoot when you're in your world nationals or your highest levels of competition? What's the pattern like? What, is it a number?
I just switched loads. I was shooting Fiocchi Shooting Dynamics and having a lot of very good luck with those for quite a few years. Recently, I've ran into some problems with them. Not going to say what, but... So I was down at the regional, at the Northeast Regional in May this year, and I was shooting with a young kid from Texas, flew all the way up from Texas to shoot the Northeast Regional. And his father and my father were talking, and he used to shoot Fiocchi Shooting Dynamics as well, and they were having the exact same issues I was starting to have. So when we were done shooting our prelim, the kid goes... and hands me 5 shells. Here, try them. So I just cleaned this last station that we were on. 6 targets. All 6 targets. Clean. Hit them very hard. Made them 6 or 7 pieces. A whole 110mm target. And just absolutely crushed them. So the kid gives me some shells to try. So I step back in the box. Ask the ref if I can have a couple extra pairs to try these. The ref gives me a couple extra pairs. And the targets went from... the 6 or 7 pieces that I was getting after the break to leaving a black dust in the sky. There is nothing left of the target. So now I am shooting Bornegie Golds.
Okay. So now scoring, when you're competing in these clays, do you get more points if you dust it versus breaking off a piece?
No.
A hit's a hit.
A hit is a hit, and it has to be a visual piece. This year down at the state shoot, a guy in front of me, he clearly hit the target. He took all the orange paint off the target. But since there was no visual piece, the scorekeeper called it a lost target. The shooter tried to argue with the scorekeeper that target was hit. So me being upper level, I go, I'm sorry, but that target is a lost target. You hit it, but there is no visual piece. Therefore, it's a lost target. The rule book states it has to be a visual piece for it to be called dead.
You would have seen Jeremy Newman throw a temper tantrum.
The guy was not very happy. The guy wasn't very happy with me either but you're at a state shoot. You're at a state competition.
I hear you.
One target, you know, that'll cost you.
Now, in a competition, is it fair that everyone shoots different loads or should it be uniform? Everybody shoots the same thing.
Everybody is able to shoot whatever the load they want. It has to be shot size 7.5 or larger. So 7.5, 8s or 9s.
That was how I should have asked the first question in this most recent line. Our guest in studio this morning, JJ Cooper. He's from Cooper Sales and Service. Now, y'all have a couple of events, man. We're almost out of time, but I want to make sure we get the word out. Let me pull it up here. You got an event at the Garden Factory?
That's correct.
What's that about?
It is the Rochester Snow Show presented from the Hilton Snowflyer Snowmobile Club. So every year they've had a snowmobile show. We will be in there with a huge booth. We'll fill our 36-foot trailer full of clothing, accessories, things like that. And then we'll bring in a couple sleds for people to look at and things like that. So we'll have almost everything that will be at our store will be there. If we run out of product on Saturday, we can always bring more in on Sunday for you guys to take home.
Garden Factory...
Yeah, Buffalo Road.
Buffalo Road. All right, man. I just want to make sure we're sending folks to the right spot here.
Yep.
And anything else you want to say about that? Because you have another event I want to make sure we shine a light on as well.
So the Rochester Snow Show is November 10th and 11th. It is on our website under our events page. We have a link there for it. And our other event coming up later is our annual open house. That is November 30th, December 1st. Friday will be there, normal business hours 10 to 5, and Saturday we will be there 9 to 4.
All right, as the son of the owner,
yes.
All right, and you'll never tell your folks this, right? How big a pain in the butt is it to lug everything to the garden factory?
It's a bit of a pain. The worst part is all the helmets that we got, because we have all our helmets are displayed, so we got to take them down, put them back in the boxes, put it into the trailer. Our clothing, we have a couple big racks. So we could just take them off the walls, throw them on the racks, throw the racks right in the trailer.
I always ask the boat show guys and the RV show, like the guys at Johnson, they have a show coming up. I'm like, all right, how many trips did you take from Webster to Grease Ridge Mall? Like, how many runs does it take to move your whole inventory out there? Well, good stuff, man. I appreciate you coming in today. Again, if you're on the market for a snowmobile, an ATV, whether it be a side-by-side, do y'all do the two wheels in the front ones?
The Can Spiders, no. We don't have that franchise as of right now.
Oh.
We've been looking into it.
Sorry, I brought it up then.
Nope, you're fine.
Side-by-sides, though?
Yes, we do have side-by-sides. We have in stock right now, we have the Can-Am Defenders for utility, the Can-Am Trail, which is a new 50-inch Maverick Trail that is built to go trail riding, and we have the brand new Maverick Sport, which is now a 60-inch version. So,
wow, man. More and more guys I know going to those side-by-sides, giving up their four-wheelers, going in that route.
Yep.
Well, keep them in mind. CoopersSales-Service.com is their website. JJ, great job today. First time being on the radio?
Yes, sir.
All right, you did a fantastic job, bud.
Thank you.
Send my regards to everyone out at Cooper's, and thanks for coming on, man. Hopefully this can be a win-win situation. Glad to have you on board. Again, Cooper Sales and Service and Albion, new sponsor here at Taking It Outdoors. I'll be back tomorrow morning with TJ Sharp and Steve Hausman with the B Morning Coffee Club. Bob Kingsley and the countdown is next. Have yourselves a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.